Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart? Shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour, all in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time, $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Anybody else out there a fan of The Amazing Race? I want to do The Amazing Race. It's on my bucket list. If I were to do any TV show, definitely would not be Married at First Sight, because that's crazy. It would not be 90 Day Fiancé or The Bachelor or The Bachelorette or whichever one is running these days. I would not do Dancing with the Stars. People have asked me that before. There's no way. I would die. But I would do The Amazing Race. I wouldn't do Survivor either because I cannot eat bugs. I also don't like bugs, and you're always out with the bugs. I hear that some of the contestants for Survivor, the ones that last for quite a while, it takes them weeks, months to recover from the various maladies and outdoor challenges that they face over the course of their time sleeping and eating outside and also not eating. And in some cases, there's just bug bites and just crazy weight loss. And oh my gosh, no. Heck no. So the only game show that I would do, or survive, I guess it's more reality TV, right? Survivor and Amazing Race or reality TV. The only one that I would do is The Amazing Race, because that's so reality. You travel the world and pack as you race. But what they have on The Amazing Race every now and then, they incorporate what they call non-elimination stages, meaning even if you are the last team to show up at the mat, at the finish line for that stage, you are not eliminated, but it's very dramatic. For the most part, the majority of the legs are eliminations, and so one team gets eliminated. But every now and then, Phil Keegan, he drops a bomb on them and says, this is a non-elimination stage. You are still racing. So that's what happened on Wednesday night. It was a non-elimination night in the postseason, both hoops and hockey. We had three teams that were facing elimination, and all three teams survived and advanced to the next game, and they still got a pulse. They still got a pulse. We're going to get to these four hockey games, which extends the series and gives us a little more of an opportunity to kind of build for potential game sevens. Potential. I don't know if it's going to happen, but potentially. Also, before we dive into that, the NBA playoff schedule is about to get funky. They do this to us every year about this time. Did you know that the last possible day in NBA Finals game could take place is June 18th? I think it's June 18th. That's the Sunday. It's Father's Day. That's the last possible day that the NBA Finals could be played. It's Game 7, if Game 7 is necessary in the NBA Finals. Do you know what the date is right now? It's May 10th. It's May 10th, and we are in the second half of the Western Conference semifinals, Eastern Conference semifinals, meaning the next round, we're down to the Final Four. We're down to just two series, one in the East and one in the West. And then the NBA Finals. And yet, what we have left in the postseason is supposed to last from now until June 18th? That is five more weeks. And only, let's just say for the sake of argument, these series all go game seven, right? They won't. They won't all go game seven. But let's, well, it would be great if they did. But let's just assume that most of them go game seven. You still are talking about, are you ready for this, Jane? I can't get over it. 14 possible games in conference finals and then the NBA finals. And then let's throw in, say, three more games each at this level. You're talking about 17, we'll go 20 just for a conservative estimate, and because they won't all be playing on the same day. 20 more days of basketball at the most over the next 5 weeks. Are you kidding me?
That's what real men do.
No, it's insane. What are we going to have, a week and a half off in between the NBA finals and the conference finals? You guys, it is May 10th. It's the night of May 10th. And at most, over the next 5 weeks, because the NBA finals dates are already set. And actually, the conference final dates are already set, too. We just don't know what they are. But the NBA finals wouldn't wrap up until mid-June. Father's Day. Yeah, 20 more days of basketball. 20 more games of basketball, I should say. If they're every other day, right? Over the next 5 weeks. They're about to start doing the funky cold Medina with the schedule. So, for instance, we've got a doubleheader Thursday, a doubleheader Friday. These are all game sixes. In Philadelphia, Phoenix tomorrow night. Miami, Los Angeles on Friday night. Then no games on Saturday. And then Sunday would be a triple header of possible game sevens. If Phoenix, Denver, Philadelphia, Boston, LA, Golden State all go to a game seven, those three are all played on Sunday, Mother's Day. And then for some strange reason, Monday would be Miami, New York if it goes to a game seven. And then I'm telling you, it's about to stretch out. Yeah, five more weeks, and there's only, after Monday at the latest, we've got then another 4 weeks of basketball, four plus weeks of basketball based on the schedule, but only three more series, and obviously two of them running concurrently. I don't get it. Well, I think it has a lot to do with TV and broadcast rights, but yeah, it's pretty asinine the way they spread it all out. So it's been every night, doubleheaders every night. It's about to change big time. But for that reason, I'm wanting game sevens. So it limits the amount of dead time in between the various rounds. We still have the potential for four game sevens. With the Knicks and the Warriors staying alive. I can't do that high voice. That has escaped me for many years. Well, I probably could, but I'm not willing to try it here on the show and have it go horribly wrong. They are staying alive. And then we'll see whether or not the Suns and the Celtics can also stay alive on Thursday. Yeah, maybe if you love basketball, make sure you incorporate a possible triple header into your Mother's Day. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Really excited about our show tonight. Number one reason, Hall of Famer Ann Myers-Drysdale from Arizona, back on the show. Actually talked to her, oh gosh, maybe 90 minutes ago. And so I'm really excited because, first of all, she's amazing and we always have a good time. But we had reached out to her because she is the vice president and broadcaster for both the Suns and the Mercury. And they've had a lot of changes in Phoenix when it comes to professional basketball. There's new ownership, Matt Ishbia. Of course, he's been in the news this last week. Not only have the Suns and Mercury changed ownership, changed cultures, but Kevin Durant has joined the Suns and Brittany Griner has rejoined the Mercury. You don't want to miss this conversation with Ann. I talked to her about KD and Chris Paul and the new team ownership and Brittany Griner's return and her desire to use her experience for good. Hall of Famer. We don't get to say that very often. Multiple times usually during Super Bowl week or during the playoffs because we have the chance to connect with those who wear the yellow jackets. She's a Hall of Famer. She was actually the first female ever to be inducted into the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame, the Naismith Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. That goes back to the early 90s, but she's also in the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame. She played for Team USA. She played for UCLA. She's a champion really at every level. Obviously has the men's basketball on her resume too. She's coached. She is a wealth of information, and I had the chance to work a game with her when I did some play-by-play for Westwood One, and we had a really good time. And so it's always great to reconnect with her. So Ann Myers Drysdale on the show a little bit later on. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We do have a couple serious topics to get to. One of those being the decision of West Virginia about Bob Huggins after he goes on a Cincinnati radio station and uses some offensive words and makes a couple offensive comments. I am stunned by this. I will tell you the truth. I'm stunned by the decision to not fire him. I would welcome your reaction. So again, on Twitter or Facebook, I would be interested in your reaction. We're not going to put a post up because I don't trust people. I think it could get really ugly, and I don't want that type of conversation on my Facebook page. So instead, we're not going to put a post up. But if you want to find me on either Twitter or Facebook, and then you're welcome to call 855-212-4227. Either one of those is a viable option. In addition to that, the first comments from Matt Araiza, the former Bills punter who was accused of being part of a game rape, and now he was never charged, but now authorities have proven that he wasn't at the house where the young woman claims to have been raped. And again, no charges have been filed to this point against any of the people that she accused. But Matt has been cleared of all wrongdoing. And a lot of you have brought it up on my social about him losing his job. Someone even blamed the media. It's always easy to blame the media. And so we'll talk about that. Do we have audio, Jay, or is it? It's not audio. Okay. He spoke to Pro Football Talk. I know that for sure. And he also released a statement. So we can share his comments. And wanted to make sure that we got to that this week because I know some of you have asked me about it. From the world of football, there is more, like Jordan Love speaking out as QB1 for the first time with the Packers. And Aaron Donald also talking about his offseason and his health. So we'll mix in football, plus the hoops and the hockey playoffs, a little bit of baseball too. Last night we had the incredible debut for Casey Schmidt and his family with the San Francisco Giants. Well, cross country, the New York Yankees had a pretty impressive first for one of their young players too. Got a couple of really interesting series taking place as well in Major League Baseball. I think it's too early to scoreboard watch myself. I'm not quite there yet. But Baltimore-Tampa Bay is worthy of attention. And Justin Verlander was back on the baseball diamond as well, or back on the mound. Milestone for Kenley Jansen. So there are a few baseball headlines and baseball occasions that we will drop in. Typical May, typical springtime where sports never stop. We get the schedule release for the NFL coming up on Thursday, and the poll that we put out there, which is somewhat tongue-in-cheek. We've meant it to be fun. If you haven't yet taken our poll, we would love for you to do so. It's gauging your level of anticipation for the schedule release. Although we do now have a few of the games, the international matchups, just like the NFL to tease us with a New Year's Eve battle between the Chiefs and the Bengals. It's New Year's Eve. It's not the playoffs, but still, if you were going to stay home for any reason, remember the last few years we've had college football on New Year's Eve, but college football is drastically changing its playoff bracket and they don't love playing on New Year's Eve. So this year it's the NFL. What is your level of anticipation for the schedule release, which has already begun, but really en masse, coming up on Thursday? So that poll is still available for a couple more hours on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page, my Twitter too. So there's a lot that we're going to juggle. Really excited to get through these next few hours with you because, well, not only do I love to talk about sports and I love to host a radio show, that's number one. Number two, yes, we have a great conversation with Hall of Famer Ann Myers Drysdale. Some really compelling moments in both hoops and hockey, the NFL, just because we goof on the NFL. Can't wait to hear Jordan Love. But also, as we get through this show and head into Thursday, oh my gosh, I can finally do yard work on Thursday. And why is that important? Because if I don't, the neighborhood watch may post signs in my yard or tell the police. They're going to call the police on me for having a yard that's out of control. Actually, I don't live in that kind of a neighborhood. And I'm not the only one. It's springtime. And so the yard and the weeds, the grass and the weeds are growing out of control. And we had this crazy weekend of rain 2 weeks ago. I think I remember telling you that I wasn't able to get out and run because there were literally no breaks in the rain. And so since that time, with the half marathon, my last trip to Syracuse, and just work, I haven't had a chance to cut the grass. And now it looks like a jungle in my front yard. And there's pollen everywhere. I mean, my driveway is half covered by the pollen that's coming off the trees. So finally, I'll get to redeem myself in the eyes of the neighborhood by doing yard work on Thursday. It'll be, I don't know, Jay, would you count that as my first exercise since the half marathon? Would that count as exercise?
Well, you went on a walk the other evening, correct?
No, today I went on a walk.
Today you went on a
walk. But we weren't walking super, we weren't walking the way that we normally walk, my friend and I, because I just didn't have the, I didn't have the energy in my legs. So I'm thinking that tomorrow when I do the yard work, that'll be my first kind of physical exertion since the half marathon. And then I'll get back to actually working out this weekend.
So the walk was a good warm-up for the real physical exertion. Yeah, I'd say that doing yard work is a physical exertion. Mm. So
yeah, it's going to require a lot of like bend and stretching in the legs. So I think it is. I'm mostly back to normal, quote unquote, in that I'm not sore anymore. Mostly. There are still a few steps that do generate some pain or some sore, not really pain. That's a misnomer, but yeah, the good sore is nearly gone.
Do you have to go into the shed?
Of course I have to go into the shed. That's where my lawnmower is.
And it's, I assume it's winterized still. So that might be a
winterized.
Yeah.
My shed is not winterized.
Well, just it's not, you know, things are not accessible easily because they've been away for a few months.
No, Jay, I did yard work 3 weeks ago.
Oh, well then you're ready to rock.
Duh. Wait, you know this is not the first time I mowed my lawn. Remember, I told you a few weeks ago I did 4 hours of yard work one weekend.
It's been a crazy 4 weeks.
Yeah, not to mention I had to trim all kinds of plants, and I've already got flowers out and stuff. So, oh yeah, no, I've been in the shed. In fact, I cleaned out the shed a few weeks ago just because the squirrels had a heyday in there during the winter. My shed is not closed. It's the animals can get into it. I mean, it's got a door, but it's wooden. They can get into it however they want. So yeah, one of the things I'd like to do in the future is get a actual shed that's sealed, not the old rustic one that I have in my backyard. But no, I had shed to, I actually have to go get gas for my lawnmower too, because I'm almost out. So the shed is, it's functional.
Are the chipmunks back?
Everything's back. Chipmunks, birds, squirrels, rabbits. I have not seen the woodchucks yet.
Oh, that's what I meant. The woodchucks, not the chipmunks.
And I also have, I've seen the cardinals and the blue jays, the pairs that live in my backyard, but they're not there as much as they normally are. There's a, the backyard's even worse, and the bunnies are having a heyday. They're just grand old time. My backyard is their playground. They love the backyard because they can hide in the tall grasses. Goodness, I got to plant some grass seed too. See what I mean? I need to get to the weekend so I can get some yard work done. It's supposed to be hot this weekend too, up in the mid-80s. All right, find us on Twitter and Facebook. Your reaction to anything, really. There's plenty in sports to choose from. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Curry dribbles on Schroeder. Left hand dribble all the way. Held off Schroeder. Got a layup. Timeout LA. The Warriors trying to keep their season alive, and they lead 91-75. Shoveled over to Curry. Pump fake, dribble drive on Davis. Cruising across the paint. Spins back to his left. Takes a 17-footer with no time on the shot clock buzzer.
My goodness.
The calmness and coolness of the old term, the cat burglar.
Yeah, that's what special players do.
Curry pump fake. Looney gets it. Hand off back to Curry. Curry trapped in the corner. Has Reeves on his back. Nowhere to go. Shot clock at three. Up top to Clay. Dribble drive by Clay over to Draymond. He'll take a jumper. It's up and good. Draymond knocked it down. He's got 20 points.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What you need to know about the Golden State Warriors staying alive, staying alive, staying alive, is this wasn't just about the Splash Brothers. In fact, neither Steph Curry nor Clay Thompson shot well from three. Their signature bombs away type performance, that wasn't in effect here. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson combined to go 5 of 17 from beyond the arc. Now, Steph did shoot a lot better from mid-range and when getting to the hoop. So he shot 50% overall, but it was not the threes that were making him so effective in this game. And if you look at the box score, if you watch the game, you could tell fairly easily that this was really about everyone else. Klay Thompson only had 10 points. For a second consecutive game, he did not shoot well, though he played great defense. He also had 6 rebounds, a couple of assists, some blocks and steals. So these guys are out there affecting the game in other ways. But it was Draymond Green with 20 points and 10 rebounds and then filling the stat sheet with all that he does on defense and facilitating. It was Andrew Wiggins with 25 points. It was Gary Payton in the starting lineup for his defense, but contributing double-figure points and 6 rebounds. And this was really about, I don't want to call it the supporting cast because that's not how I feel about the Warriors. We're not talking Michael Jordan and the rest of the Bulls here. They out-rebounded the Los Angeles Lakers. They shot better than 50%. They hit more threes. They were better at the free throw line. They took care of the basketball, so same number of turnovers, which is usually an Achilles heel for them. The offense was flowing, and that's what really attracts the attention about the Warriors, but they also played really strong defense at home in this game 5 and have now pulled within 3-2 of the Lakers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Tim Roy, Tom Tolbert on Warriors Radio. And the Lakers would fight scratch and claw here and there to kind of pull themselves within potential striking distance, but never could get close enough for it to be an actual threat. Similar to what I felt about the Sixers and the Celtics in Boston in game number 5, though the spread wasn't always that large. Lakers did make it more respectable, but couldn't quite get close enough to threaten the Warriors at Chase Center. And beyond all of that, a far greater concern for the Lakers because now they head home to game 6 and they can close out the series in their own building, except we don't know about Anthony Davis.
Chris Haynes is reporting that Anthony Davis has been escorted away in a wheelchair.
What?
For further evaluation.
Boy, yeah, I mean, obviously he must have had a concussion or something. So he got hit in the head that way, and so obviously it wasn't just a poke in the eye. He did get hit in the head really hard, so it could be a concussion when you see that kind of a blow to the head. And he has 36, 48, something hours to get ready for Friday if he can play.
Obviously, everyone saw he took a shot to the head, but he got just checked in on him. He's doing, seems to be doing really good already. So that's just where it's at. That's the status of it right now.
I didn't see the shot. Just seeing the aftermath. But, you know, medical team seems to say he's doing better. So, you know, that's what matters the most.
Yeah, a little concerning to see Anthony Davis, first of all, not be able to return to the game, and he kind of grabbed the side of his head, but also that he was in a wheelchair. According to Chris Haynes, now he's the one who delivered the report on the NBA on TNT. This is his tweet from an hour ago. Early diagnosis indicates Anthony Davis appears to have avoided a concussion and is doing much better now. So that is Chris Haynes an hour ago giving the latest on Anthony Davis, which is good. A, you don't want any athlete to have a concussion, but B, I want to see him as part of game number six in this, what is now a much tighter series with a little more pressure on the Lakers. They don't want to face a game seven at Chase Center. Though when you're talking about championship pedigree, each of these teams has a healthy dose of it. So we'll let you know if we hear anything else about Davis, but the good news is he appears to have avoided a concussion. Steve Kerr likes what he got from not just Steph Curry, but from the other guys who were not only filling up the stat sheet and scoring, but were also able to rebound and share the basketball. This was a complete all-hands-on-deck performance by the Warriors. And when you've got a Gary Payton who can play defense the way that he does, that's huge. It's a game changer.
Gary's a game changer.
Oh, no,
we knew
I
that
said
last
that.
Year. I mean, we don't win the championship without
I didn't even know
Gary.
Said that.
And so to get him back has completely changed our defense. And, you know, against these guys, he's got the ability to get into their guards. They have great guard play with D'Lo and Reeves and Schroeder. Obviously, Walker last game played so well. So Gary gives us you know, someone who can get underneath their ball handlers and at least make them, you know, have to work. And then offensively, he's so unique with his speed and his ability to finish around the rim. So it's just we're a different team, you know, now that he's back with us.
I swear to you, I did not say that because I knew Steve Kerr was about to say game changer. I didn't. I did not. Draymond Green, he was much better in this game. He's had a couple of off games, shall we say. But this was a game in which he was very aggressive. He was actually driving the lane. He was going to the hoop. He had a double-double. He and Andrew Wiggins, smart front court, smart, not only smart decisions, but smart looks at the hoop. And yes, the Warriors are always going to chuck and duck when it comes to the three-pointers. But I felt like the decision-making and limiting the damage with turnovers. Of course, they push the tempo. Of course, they share the basketball. But it wasn't the reliance on just Steph Curry or Steph and Klay. Nah, they had so many options that the Lakers weren't able to double-team as much, weren't able to lay off the shooters. And when they did, they got burned. And as it turns out, the Draymond Green pregame speech fired the team up. Moses Moody was telling the story on NBC Sports Bay Area.
Draymond gave another one of those talks last last game? One of these days. Just saying, you know, the magnitude of each game. So to say, like, the whole narrative changed after one game, you could feel it. being down 2-1. I'm 2-3 is completely different than 3-1. And making them have to go defend home court, and then they're not going to want to have to come play game 7 here. So now the pressure on them and just keeping that dynamic.
Draymond Green, as much as he can be a royal pain in the rear end, he can even be a royal pain in the rear end of his own teammates and coaches. He is the fire. He's the heart and the soul of this team. And Steve Kerr said it many times. And when you get a game like this from him offensively, it's a bonus. The Warriors are a heck of a lot tougher to beat when you've got 45 points from Andrew Wiggins and Draymond Green, and then double figures from Gary Payton off the bench. So yeah, they shot well. Can they take that on the road? The games that they played in LA, they had double figure leads, but weren't able to close them out. And their shooting would go ice cold in stretches. And there just weren't enough guys who were good options for the Warriors. And can they play defense? In LA, the way they play defense in their own building, that's been the question for them all season long. Now, coming up, we'll hear from both LeBron and Steph Curry. And as we work our way through this next hour on the show, the New York Knicks live to tell a story about how they forced the Miami Heat into another game. Man, talk about all hands on deck. We don't often see the Knicks with so many guys who are able to score, able to create, really able to be a viable option. It was a big game for the Knicks. What a huge game for Jalen Brunson. Maybe his signature game since he joined New York. So a lot still to get to on the hoops side of things. And as I say, football, hockey, baseball, we've got everything. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, because sports never stops.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Over to Curry with 10 seconds to go in the half. Curry will take it.
He knows.
9 with 8. They want a screen. Nobody's coming up the screen. Curry will go one-on-one with Walker with 3. With 2, backs up into a 3. It's up and good! At the buzzer! Golden State will take an 11-point lead into the locker room at halftime.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Tim Roy on Warriors Radio, and Golden State wins this round. Golden State face a non-elimination leg of their Western Conference semifinal series. And in the East, the Heat were unable to close out the New York Knicks. So those two series will play on. Wondering about the Boston Celtics. Will they be able to fight, scratch, claw, stay alive against the Sixers? That game taking place in Philadelphia on Thursday evening. And then we've also got the next game between Phoenix and Denver. And in that one, we do know that Chris Paul will not play. He's out for game number 6. And so instead, it's the Nuggets. Now, they are in Phoenix, so you would think that there'd be a home court advantage there, or at least favorable rims and excited fans. Yes, the Suns also face elimination. So this Western Conference and Eastern Conference semifinal rounds, they're getting down to the nitty-gritty. We could have 3 game 7s on Sunday. We could. I would be stunned if we did have all 3 go game 7, but it is a possibility. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Told you we can hear from both Steph Curry and LeBron James. Steph goes just 3 of 11 from beyond the arc in game number 5. And so he didn't shoot the way that we know he can. And actually, that's part of the storyline of this game 5, is that he and Klay did not provide the greatest pop from deep and did not provide the daggers from the offense. Though Steph always does damage. His threes, even if it's just a couple of them, seem to come at the worst possible times for opponents. This one at half court. And the Warriors built on that coming out of the halftime locker room. He does finish as the leading scorer for the Warriors, but a lot of his damage came from inside the arc. 27 points, 8 assists again for him to go along with a handful of rebounds. And yeah, the way that Steph is playing right now is essentially anything the team needs, right? And I love the fact that at this age, this experience level for Steph, not only is he not allowing his ego to get in the way of his role, but he is able to assess the game, see how it's playing out, and kind of morph like a transformer, if you will, into whatever the Warriors need on that night.
It's the body of work that you can kind of tap into to, again, know how many different scenarios and situations that you've been in that I can build, tap into that confidence that I can do whatever the game requires. I just love this stage, so much, and not afraid of anything that's going to happen and the outcome. It's just, again, getting lost in the game and understanding the versatility of being able to play a lot of different ways. And the confidence that I've been able to do it for a long time. So, and the trust that I have in my teammates to be along that journey with me. So, it's nice to and blessed to be able to keep doing it even at this stage in your career. So, I don't want it to stop anytime soon.
Steph, at this point in his career, he really feels, what needs to happen during a game, what's required of him. And you saw it in Game 7 against Sacramento where he knew he had to score, took 38 shots. In this series, the Lakers' defense is really good. They're great at the rim. We've got to get the ball moving. We've got to move their defense around, and Steph understands that. And I don't know what his assist-to turnover ratio is in this series, but it's pretty impressive.
What always impresses me, and yes, Steph's game, it can be anything that it needs to be. In the opener of this series, I think it was the opener. Maybe it wasn't the opener. The first game the Warriors won, he was driving to the hoop relentlessly. Remember, he did that against Sacramento too. He can attack. He can certainly dish. He attracts a lot of attention from opposing defenses. We know what he can do with the ball in his hands in terms of his ability to navigate traffic in tight spaces, but also pull up and shoot from another planet. He has such a sense of theater. He knows when to deliver the knockout blow.
If you can shimmy on somebody else, you got to be all right getting shimmied on.
But I also appreciate when the Warriors get to this stage and they're facing elimination. They did so against the Sacramento Kings. There was a Game 7 against Sacramento after they couldn't close them out in Game number 6 on their own floor. They had to go back to Sacramento and play that Game 7. And what always stands out about Steph and Clay and Dre and Steve Kerr, this group that has been together for this last decade, is that they're never overwhelmed by the stage. And I've said this before, I truly believe it. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Steve Kerr, his coaching staff, they are impervious to pressure. And even listening to them talk about these stages and these moments, you recognize, they take it all in stride because of everything they've seen.
I was calm mostly just because you remember just to have fun and enjoy this experience and the opportunity that we have to play at this level. Like, we're competitors and you hate to lose and you're doing everything you can to avoid that feeling. And even down 3-1, like, you understand what's at stake and what the consequences are if you lose another game. We're still living in that, but it's still reminding yourself to enjoy this, enjoy the competition, enjoy the work that goes into preparing yourself mentally and physically for each game, and then you allow yourself to get lost in the game that way. I think that's the best way to kind of approach it based on all the experiences that we've had. So, you know, we have a lot of confidence that we can come back in this series. And until otherwise, we stay in that kind of mindset.
Mm, yeah, it's huge. Same sentiments from Draymond Green and how they have so much confidence in these tough situations, though he gives a ton of credit to Steve Kerr. He actually says it starts with Steve. So we'll hear from Dre a little bit later on. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Now, LeBron James has got multiple rings, most recently in 2020. He also is impervious to pressure. So what about approaching game six, understanding you have to set a tone, even if there's no Anthony Davis?
We have another opportunity. Obviously, they, you know, played exceptionally well here tonight, and you know, we had some good moments, but you know, not as close to 48 minutes as we needed to be. But we had another opportunity on Friday, and we look forward to the matchup again.
Also, wait until you hear what he has to say later about whether or not the Lakers are coached to flop. One more from Darvin Ham about this loss. The Lakers still up 3-2.
Salute to them, taking care of business on their own floor. That's just how the playoffs go. They came out, you know, they had the crowd behind them. They was able to see some shots go in early. Really got it going early from the three-point line. But, you know, it is what it is. We just got to come out ready to do the same on our home floor.
That's right. Coming up on Friday night. Do you have any other plans? I don't. My Friday night date is unavailable on Friday night. And so I'll be watching hoops. Coming up a little bit later, you'll hear more from Draymond Green and also from Steph and LeBron, too, about the flopping. So that series is fun. I will take every bit that we can get from Warriors and Lakers. The other series, you know what we saw? The Miami Heat. What they were during the regular season, I call them Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. They had a personality disorder. We got that in the same game on Wednesday evening against the Knicks. Ultimately, the Knicks survive a scare. So we will talk about that game coming up. Plus, Jordan Love speaks as QB1. You'll hear him next hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
Your points are worth more than you think. This first-class flight to Tokyo, you can book it in your credit card portal for 1.4 million points. Yowzers. With PointMe, you could redeem just 120,000 points for that same flight. Now that's more like it. PointMe gets you 6 to 12 times the value for your points. Your credit card points are worth more than you think. PointMe. Better flights. Fewer points.
Get started today at point.me. That's point.me.
I'm JR of the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm also the host of the new podcast, Agents of Inclusion. We talk to a different Special Olympics athlete every week to learn how sports can bring us together.
We're bringing both the disability and non-disability community to one community. All one people, one family.
Took me a little while, but I decided to claim autism as my superpower. When you hear the word autism, don't let that hinder you from doing whatever it is that you want to do.
That's what Special Olympics tells you. You get involved in sport, but then you take it from the playing field out into real life.
Family means to me community, acceptance, love, embracing a person just as they are. That's what Special Olympics did for me.
It's all about family. Subscribe to Agents of Inclusion on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.